usually what we do at New Freedom Church. But this is a special occasion. Again, you guys have written in a lot of awesome topics in this series called You Asked For It. And we've talked about all kinds of different subjects concerning how do we know the Bible is the Word of God. We talked about spiritual warfare. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about prostitution, of all things, with Gomer and Hosea. And we talked about, you know, all these different things. And so, but a lot of the topics we could not formulate sermons around because they were more questions. And so the questions that we compiled, we thought a few weeks ago, we thought, you know what, let's just, you and I, sit up here and let's answer these questions. And so that's what we're going to do. I have forgotten my glasses. Someone, you go in my office and get my glasses, please and thank you. So anyway, let's pray and we will get started, all right? So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so very much for what you are doing here in our church. Thank you, Father, for the souls that have been saved this summer. Thank you, Father, for the families that have been added this summer. Lord, I thank you for the heart that this church has to really love people. And I ask, Lord, today that you would, Father, fill mine and Pastor Johnny's mouths this morning as we answer the questions that were presented to us. Lord, may we learn, may we understand, may there be revelation this morning. And Father, we just pray that you get the glory out of all that we do in this place today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, here is the first question. And I thought this was a very good one. Is the American dream good for Christians to pursue? Who thinks of stuff like that, right? If you wrote that question, don't raise your hand. I love it. It's a great question. Is the American dream good for Christians to pursue? So we'll get right into it. So there are some differences between the American dream and Christianity, all right? Now, by no means have I a problem with going after what you want, all right? Giving it your best effort and making the best out of every opportunity that is that we have in this amazing country. Don't we have an amazing country, right? Despite who's in the White House, despite who controls Congress, despite leadership or whatever, God has got his hand upon America. Can you give God an amen on that one? Yes. We are literally the envy of the world, and that is because of great sacrifice. That is because of patriotism. That is because men and women throughout our history, have chosen to not only give up their wealth, not only their health, but also their lives for the sake of freedom. And because of that, we honor them. Because of that, we get to participate in the greatest country ever known to humanity. Not just in recent history, but since the world has begun, right? But there is a problem with the American dream, all right? Materialism drives our society. We think more is better, and that more is a sign of success. Well, Jesus, when we look at stuff like this, we have to go back to the Bible. Now, again, I'm not preaching against being rich. If you're wealthy in this place, praise God. I hope you gave this morning, all right? And I have no problem with that whatsoever. Go after your dream. Go after what God has called you to do. But don't let it define who you are, right? You want to know where someone's values are, just check their checkbook this week.
Very true.
Well, maybe it's not checkbook anymore, right? But just look at what you write checks. Look at your online giving and your bank statement, and you will see what you value, what is important to you. And so, but materialism really drives our society because we feel more is better, and that's how we judge success. But when we get when materialism gets into the picture, we have to go back to what the Word of God says. Jesus not one time ever equated riches with success. Jesus said, foxes have dens, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to rest his head. In other words, he's homeless, right? And Jesus was teaching in Matthew 19, and this man came up to him, and he was a rich young man, and he was a ruler over a lot of people. And this guy came up to him, and he had virtually everything life could offer, everything. And he prided himself, and he even told Jesus, he said, Jesus, what more must I do to inherit eternal life? I've kept all of the commandments since my youth. I've kept them all. I've been really good. And so what else do I need to do? Now, that's a loaded question, right? So he basically gave Jesus his goodness resume. How many of you guys have ever given Jesus your goodness resume? Don't you lie. Don't you lie. All right? We all have done that. Lord, I have been super good this week. And this is the stuff that I have done. And because of that, I'm asking you to bless me, you know. And so that's what this man is doing. He said, I've kept all of the commandments since my youth. And here's how, this is the masterful communication of Jesus. Jesus knew how to get to the heart and to the value of a person in a sentence, in an instant, in a question. And this is what he said to the guy. And by the way, this is an interesting question, and I'll get to it after I say this. Jesus said to him, he said, great, this is awesome that you've kept the commandments all of your life. You are a good guy, but you lack one thing. I want you to sell everything you've got, all of it, right down to the silver candlesticks. And then I want you to come and I want you to follow me. Can you do that? And the Bible says, if you've read the story in Matthew 19, he dropped his head and he walked away. And the reason why he walked away is because his value was connected to his stuff. His identity was connected to what he possessed. It possessed him. He did not possess it. And it's interesting to note, at no other time that Jesus asked someone else to follow him after this. What an opportunity it was for this man to give up everything in order to follow Jesus. But he couldn't do it because his value was in his stuff. The absolute pursuit of prosperity it's basically consumed our society. We adore it. We praise it. We sacrifice for it. We work overtime for it. We schedule our time around it. The first commandment clearly tells us that nothing should go in front of God, that he is our first place, right? So we've got to keep God in his rightful place. So can the American dream hurt believers? Should we pursue the American dream? First and foremost, we should pursue God and pursue his dream for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Johnny, what else you got to add to that, brother?
Well, you know, I think the thing that we as Americans miss in our lives is perspective. You know, how many of you have gone on foreign mission trips? Just raise your hand. Though you guys have perspective like nobody else does. In many cases, and I know where some of you have gone, you've seen real poverty. And you've seen poverty to the point that it's normal for them. So perspective is really important when it comes to pursuing the American dream. The American dream, and then there's God's dream, and Jimmy's 100% right. We're to pursue God's dream for our lives. But what God's dream in our lives sometimes doesn't match up with the American dream. And there's lots of people who've sacrificed money, they've sacrificed careers, they sacrificed relationships just to pursue God with all their heart. Just a quick story. Mariah was home. Mariah is my youngest daughter. She was home from college, and we went out to a restaurant. We went to Red Robin. Any Red Robin lovers out there? Yeah, it was really bad for me. I had that one with the egg on top. I love that one. And we're sitting there, and we're ordering. There's like, what, 97 different cheeseburgers or burgers you can order off of that thing. And suddenly, at that moment, I don't know why, but I got perspective. I'm looking at this menu, and it struck me that 99% of America, that's a made-up number, but that's what I think it is, or 99% of the world, they don't have any of these choices. Like, they don't have any real food in their lives at all. Like, they're struggling for the next meal, right? They're trying to figure out, they're working in the dump all day so that they can get enough food to provide for the family, and they know that some of their family is going to go hungry that night. And here I am sitting in Red Robin, and I'm choosing which burger that I want. And it just struck me how we in America, even the poorest of us, even the people who live on the street, are 100 times better than those who live in other countries. And why is it that God chose me to live here? I don't know. I don't know. I don't deserve it. Am I any better than those people who have nothing, who are destitute and in poverty? No, I'm not any better. Neither are you. So we need to have perspective. God has blessed us, and guess what? Because God has blessed us and given us, He expects us to give. He expects us to make a difference in the world around us and in our world. So pursue the American dream in the Lord and keep your perspective.
Very good. And it all, again, and that's very good. It goes back to perspective. It goes back to what you're putting first. Scripture tells us that we should put God above everything. And what does that mean? That means we got to check our heart. We got to check our motives. We got to check the reason why we're doing things. Listen, we can lie to ourselves very good, right? Very well, we can lie to ourselves. And we can justify everything that we do. And that's why it's important that we are to take stock in our own heart and to not deny the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the voice of the Holy Spirit will supersede our voice when we're lying to ourselves. It'll guide us. It'll bring conviction. And so we've got to put everything under who God is and our love for Him, and everything else comes second, right? And so the last thing is, as a society, we fear poverty more than we fear God, right? For some of us, I came from poverty growing up. How many of you guys have ever heard this may be a Southern term, okay? So we're so poor, we can see the chickens through the floor. Yes, my son has heard that. Andy, thank you so much for that gratuitous hand back there, right? My first Christmas, I remember, my mother was probably maybe 20, and when I remember my first Christmas, and I got a white guitar, I got a wallet, and I got a man-size hat, and my mom's got a picture of it, and there is a hole in our floor, and if it wasn't for some ladies at a church who came over to give us our Christmas presents, we would have had nothing, absolutely nothing. And so when I grew up, got a family, I worked my tail off at my business, and I pursued security as much as possible, to the point where I would not turn down jobs. I would work late. I'd work on weekends. I would do whatever I possibly could do, until my wife said, "Jimmy, you've got to stop." And I said, "I'm afraid to say no. I'm afraid to say no." And so what does that perspective tell you? Number one, I was operating in fear. I feared poverty more than I relied and trusted on the Lord. And my wife pointed that out. And so I began to say no and began to better prioritize my business so that we could work smarter, not harder, right? And so that's what we did. And so I had to check my motives and the reasons why I did things. And that's the way it is with the American dream. Listen, go after it. pursue it. There's nobody in the world more inventive, more creative, have more opportunities than we do right here in America. So go after it. Preach but it. Ask the Lord to lead and guide you. Amen? Amen. All right. Great question, whoever that was. All right. So number two, the second question is, what, and this is considering what's going on in our country, this is a good question. What are the rights of women in the church? Very good question.
Yeah, now we're going to get into it. Yeah. Now we're going to have a little fun, aren't we?
I'm going to go in my office and let Pastor Johnny answer his questions. Yeah, Dana, would you like to come up and...
She's ready, man. She's leaning.
She's leaning in. All right, so let's get after this, because this is a really, really good question, and to be honest with you, I studied this question more than I did any other, and the reason why, yeah.
So you have a degree in women's studies.
So I am a PhD in women's studies. So. No, the reason why I did is because I wanted to be clear about what Scripture says. If the church has any faults, one of those faults is leaning more on tradition and bias than they do the Word of God.
It's a true story.
Right? And so, again, you've heard me say this over the 6 years of me being your pastor here. We are no more spiritual than we are biblical. If your spirituality does not find its roots and its home squarely in the Word of God, you are not spiritual, you are deceived, right? You are biased, your love is limited, and your patience for others is very short. And so I hear people all the time, I'm very spiritual. Well, tell me about your spiritualism. Let's talk about that. Is it founded in the Word of God? Can you base it off of what Scripture says? And if they say, well, it's a mixture, then we have a problem. And we find this in this subject concerning women and their roles in the church, their roles in the home. And so I want to get into this. So let me just say that women were the first disciples at the cross. All right? We see Peter the night before Jesus was betrayed saying, I will die with you. I'm not going to leave you. And he takes a sword and he cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers that came to get Jesus. But Jesus said, Peter, I hear you, but you're going to deny me 3 times before you hear the rooster crow, right? And Peter's like, oh, that's, I'm not going to do that. I love you, blah, 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 you know, and on and on and on. And so, but what happened was Peter denied him 3 times. We see Peter following along in the darkness at a safe distance when Jesus got arrested. He was nowhere to be found, no disciples anywhere. They scattered like the wind. Right? And so when Jesus was lifted up on the cross and no one else was around, not even his disciples, the ladies were there. They were the first people at the tomb, at the cross, and they were the first people at the empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday. Why is that so significant? That the women were the first there, the first witness and first testimony. The reason why this is so significant is in those days, in a court of law, women were not allowed to give testimony. Their testimony was not to be trusted. Jesus, when he came on the scene, he changed that. He upended society and the thinking about women for all time. Jesus is the great advocate for women. Amen? And so, I think it's so significant that the ladies were the first witnesses because their witness was not allowed in a court of law. Women were not allowed to learn the Torah at a very early age like the young boys were. The young boys were taught at a very early age the Torah, the law, and they memorized it and could quote it at any particular time. But the young girls were illiterate. They could not learn. They were not allowed to learn at that particular time. Their roles were specific. and that is to take care of the house and to raise children. All right? And so Jesus upended all of that when he first appeared to women first. That was not by accident. That was not by accident. And so the Assemblies of God, which this church is a part of, has been around for over 100 years. The Assemblies of God has affirmed women in ministry long before the role of women became a secular or liberal agenda. The Assemblies of God, when it first started, 2/3 of the missionaries that were sent out at the time were commissioned by the Assemblies of God, were taught, were raised up in the Assemblies of God, and sent out to the foreign mission fields. Over 2/3 of all missionaries that were sent out at that time were women. So let's look at some of the women in the Bible. So 2 Kings 22 tells of Deborah. Everybody say Deborah?
Deborah.
Who was a prophet and a judge in Israel. She was also one of the few judges the Bible records as not having any moral lapses at all. Now, before there were kings over Israel, God had appointed judges. And at that time, especially in ancient Israel, well, there was no Israel at that time, all right? And so in those times, women were considered more as property than anything else. And so here, God established Deborah as not only a prophet, but as a judge, meaning she had authority to settle cases, to order armies to attack, and to lead the nation at that period of time, all right? When Jesus came into the picture, again, he turned the culture of Israel upside down for women. Jesus allowed women for the very first time to join his ranks, something that has never been done ever and was considered scandalous. He always got in trouble because he was hanging out with women, right? In those days, if you were a single man, you were a single woman, and you were caught talking outside, like outside after church, or you bumped into each other at Jacob's Well, and not the church down the road, but Jacob, literally Jacob's Well, all right? And you bump into each other and you start talking, that is scandalous, right? That hits Twitter, that's on Fox News, that's on CNN, that's being tweeted about. Did you see what Jesus did at Jacob's Well? I mean, he was talking to a woman. And not only a woman, this woman had 5 husbands. And the lady that she was living with was not her husband. Scandalous. This was major news. But Jesus didn't care. And the reason why Jesus didn't care is because all he saw was an opportunity to bring this woman to the full understanding of who God is. Right? He saw her worth. He saw who she can be in him. And that should be our posture in the church. God is raising up mighty women of God all over this world who has taken the gospel further, deeper than any other person in all other time in history. Our church had raised up a young college student and sent her to Russia for 2 years to work in media there, in Christian television, to establish the first Christian television station. That is groundbreaking, right? And so we are about to send a husband and wife team overseas as well. We have a female worship leader at New Freedom Church, right? And so we value the work and influence of women. We see in Luke 10, Jesus allowed Mary to sit at his feet while he taught his disciples. Big deal. Big deal, right? It is a big deal, and this is the reason why. In that culture, again, women were not allowed to learn. They were not allowed to learn the Torah, the law, to quote it, any of that. But here at Mary and Martha's house, Jesus loved these two ladies along with their brother, Lazarus, whom he later raised from the dead. He was teaching, and Martha was doing this. She was buzzing around the house. She was doing all the different preparations, getting food together and all these different things. And Mary sat and listened. That is huge. Because the custom for rabbis, which Jesus was a rabbi, the custom was that his disciples, his students, were to sit at his feet in a humble place to learn from their teacher. Women were not permitted to learn and to sit at the rabbi's feet. And for the first time in recorded history, we find a woman sitting with the disciples learning from the rabbi. Jesus is upending culture. He's upending the way we think, and he's still doing it today. All right? Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel said that in the last days that God's going to pour out his spirit. Your young men are going to dream visions. Your old men's going to prophesy. Even upon the slaves and male and female, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. Right? And so we see in Romans 8:1, there was a lady named Phoebe. Everybody say Phoebe. She was referred to as a deacon in the church. Priscilla was a Bible teacher, which her husband's name was Aquila. And it was recorded that Priscilla brought Apollos aside, who was an apostle, and corrected him in some of his doctrine. Now, that is, again, groundbreaking. And even Paul, in his letter to the church, addressed Priscilla before Aquila, which, again, was not done. It was always the husband and then the wife. But here, Paul speaks about the woman and her position and her authority within the church. So, what about the scripture that says, well, women should be silent in the church? How many of you guys have ever heard that one? How many of you guys have not heard that one? Right? Well, let's talk about that. So women are to be silent in the church. First of all, when rabbis were teaching their disciples, their students, they were to be quiet. They were to not ask questions, not at that particular time. But you were to learn in silence. And in those days, the church had just come on the scene, and all of a sudden, all of these women are coming to the saving knowledge of who Jesus is, and they've got questions. And so back in those days in Corinth, when lecturers were talking, it was commonplace for people to interrupt the lecturer and ask intelligent questions about the lecture. And the person doing the lecturing would stop, and if he deemed a question intelligent enough and well thought out enough, he would talk to them and answer the question. All right? And so here, women were in the church, they were asking all kinds of different questions, and they couldn't get through a service. And so Paul said, in this situation, not for all time, but in this situation, I want you to learn in silence and go home, and your husbands will answer those questions for you so that we can carry on with our service. Because women were being taught. They were being allowed into the service and listening to the Word of God for the very first time, and it was transforming not only their minds, but the culture. So when you have people that were not permitted to learn to all of a sudden now have a voice, hands were going up all over the room, right? And so Paul is saying, for this particular culture, for this particular setting, learn in silence so that we can carry on with the service, and your husbands will answer the questions for you for this time, right? Now, what about the scriptures that says, well, women can't rule over men. They can't have authority over men. Again, it's about not for all time, but for that culture, for that particular setting in Corinth, because the church was blowing up and growing exponentially, and so there had to be order in the church, right? And so, plus, in that culture, a woman having authority over a man was so scandalous that it would have hindered the spread of the gospel for that particular moment in time. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, Pastor Johnny?
Well, referring to that scripture, Paul specifically says, I do not do it. And he doesn't do that often in his writings. Many times in his writing, thus saith the Lord, this is the way it is. But in that particular one where he's talking about letting a woman have authority over a man, he said, this is the way that I do it. So that's a significant change. Whenever we give you, we're talking to you about some really important stuff. And the only way that we find true answers in this world and the way we think and who God is what? How do we find them? Through the Word of God, right? It's so important that you yourself, you can do it, that you can read the Word, that you can seek it out, and that you can determine what the truth is. God wrote the Word of God to be true and for us to acknowledge it and understand it. When we hear God's word, a light goes on and we acknowledge and know what the truth is, isn't it right? Right? You hear the word of God and you're like, man, that's truth. And so we must study. We must be good Bereans. There's, we believe that the word of God is inspired by God. It's perfect. There's no flaw in it. And we're talking about the original Greek or Hebrew. King James Version has mistakes. NIV has mistakes. If you look back at some of these key verses when we talk about women and the phrases that they use in there, they were manipulated based on the culture that they were presented to. So I don't want to dig any deeper into this. All I want to say is, if this is something that you're like rethinking or you're really struggling with what that scripture says, I made a couple of copies of the role of women in ministry as described by the Holy Spirit. This is the Assemblies of God position doctrinal piece on it, and it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I learned so much through it, and I have a couple copies of them here for you to discover or take if that's something that you're really struggling with.
So as you can tell, our church and throughout the Assemblies of God fellowship, we see the value and the call of God upon men and women, and do our very best to equip all who want to enter in to the ministry, or you feel God's calling you into something. We don't look at color. We don't look at creed. We don't look at gender. We look at the calling of God on your life. And if it is evident, we will equip you to do what it is that God has called you to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's our job.
That's our job. As a matter of fact, we do not have a Deborah here that is on our board, but we do have a Mary that is on our board. Where is Mary?
There she is.
There she is. And so Mary is on our board here at New Freedom Church, and she is doing a very good job. She's been, 4 months, Mary, something like that? And she has done a very good job, and we really value her and her influence in the leadership of the church as well. All right. So here is the next question. If there is one truth, then why are there so many denominations? Pastor Johnny.
Yeah.
There's only one truth. What's the deal with all the different denominations?
Well, that's a very deep question. It depends on which way I want to go with it. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 says this: there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that awesome? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How come there's so many different churches? Well, I'll explain it to you in the way that I think about it. I'm a pretty simple guy, so here's my example. If you come to our house, right, You will see that we have certain dishes, right? And we prepare food a certain way, right? Which is exquisite and amazing Martha Stewart style, because that's my wife, right? I'm not lying about that either. But we have green plates, right? And we have Packer cups, a couple of them. And we have a certain set of silverware that you're going to see, right? And we have paper napkins. Very seldom do the other ones come out. But when we set that table, it's set a certain way. And when we make meatloaf, it's seasoned a certain way, right? The Sharp family way. Do we do it perfectly? Can it be done differently? Can it be done better? Not the meatloaf, but the other stuff, yes. See how I saved myself there?
Yeah, I did. You were starting to dig a little bit.
So, and you know what? We are part of the greater body of Christ. So you can imagine, like, there's not two households here in Green Bay that would do things exactly the same, would they? It just wouldn't make sense. You'd have different plates, different cups. You'd make your meatloaf differently than the way that we would. It would look and smell and taste. And it would be a completely different experience for you. And the church is the same way in the sense that we, you know, in the Sharp household, we put our best out and we decide what we think is the best way to make meatloaf and to set the table. And we're convinced about it. And if you come in and try to change my wife's recipe, you're going to have a fight on your hand. Because I'll defend her. Because it's the best meatloaf in the world. Right? But if you go to someone else's house, their meatloaf they think is the best and they will defend it. Right? And so you have these divisions. So, you know, the way that we worship can be different. It's allowable for denominations to be different. Right? As long as we agree on the basics of things. And that is on who Christ is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there are different denominations. Maybe some of you have come from a different denomination, and maybe you're a little burnt from it. You're like, man, they didn't preach a gospel clearly, or they didn't say this, and I didn't learn that, right? And now you're at a church that we're biblically based, and you're learning so much, and you're like, well, why didn't they show me that? You know what? It's okay to let that go. You don't have to have that wound and unforgiveness in your heart for somebody or a different church that didn't make things or do things in a certain way. That's all right, right? Let it go. We're all part of the body. Is it okay that my arm isn't the same as my leg? I would look really weird if all I had was legs, right? I wouldn't know which way was up, right? And so it's okay to have diversity in the body. We're all bodies, and we're all, you know, all the different churches fit together to be as the whole of Christ. Sometimes our bodies are messed up and a little bit weird or dysfunctional, but that's okay. What we want to do is put ourselves in a life-giving church that our mission is to get you serving the Lord and fulfill the purpose and calling that God has in your life. So denominations, you know what? There are some things that wouldn't even call, some churches that call themselves churches aren't even, they're not even Christian churches, right? They don't put Jesus Christ and teach him as who he was. And so they all get together and they act like the church, but they're not. And so, of course, I'm not going to give you a list. How many of you would like a list? All right, I'm not going to give you a list, but I can tell you the only list that you need is what the Bible says. So hang on to that, and that's my short answer.
Well, there's all kinds of different flavors, right? Every time I go into Smart Cal, I get overwhelmed. So what do? I get sample cups, right? I get about 5 or 6 sample cups. After that, I don't need any ice cream. So life hack. So I'm just kidding. I don't do that.
All right. He does.
So let me start by saying that's all you're going to remember about this. So let me start by saying there's three different branches within Christianity. There's Eastern Orthodox. There's Roman Catholic Church, and then there's the Protestant, which we fall under. And so what happened was, back in the early 1400s, how many of you guys know a man by the name of Martin Luther?
Yeah.
Martin Luther got a little bit fed up with stuff. And the reason why is because the church at large at that time only read Scripture through Latin. Okay, and what that meant was the common everyday person like me and you sat there and it was fruitless. The teaching did not teach us anything. It did not affect our lives. Why they went to church at all, I had no idea. But Martin Luther was a part of this system. And he is saying, we're not teaching the whole counsel of God. We're not teaching them about faith in Christ. We're not teaching them about repentance. We're not teaching them about sanctification. We're not teaching them about the lordship of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin. What we're doing is taxing them to death. What we're teaching them is to work for their salvation. And so Martin Luther came up with 95 different things he had against the church at the time. And he nailed it to the church door. And that was the start of the Reformation. Out of that came the Methodist Church. Out of that came the Baptist Church. Out of that came all the different flavors at Smart Cow, if you will. And so it's not that people were thinking they had the whole truth and they didn't. It fit their context at the time where they were. And because of it, it started a movement. Now we have to look at denominations through the lens of truth. We have to look, as Pastor Johnny said, the Word of God is always our measuring rod. It's always our plumb line. Does it measure up? Does this denomination believe the whole counsel and teach the whole counsel of God? In the Assemblies of God, we have 16 fundamental truths that we have had for 100 years, and they have virtually not changed in all of that time. If you go through the membership class, I will teach you all of those. So that you will understand that everything that we believe as the Assembly of God Fellowship, we find it in the Word of God, not through tradition, not through the teaching of man, but through the teaching of the Word of God, all right? And so the gospel, here's what happened. Martin Luther used the printing press to translate the Word of God in common language, and it spread like wildfire. It couldn't be quenched by man. People were being killed because of it. Printing presses were being destroyed. Yet the Word of God went forth. Why? Because it got out of the professionals and into the hungry hearts of people, and it spread like wildfire. And so here's one of the things that I always say about New Freedom Church. New Freedom Church is not for everybody, but it's for somebody. I have people that have come to New Freedom Church and they said, man, I really love the teaching. I love what your focus is, but the style just isn't for me. I'll say at that time, okay, well listen, let me point you to another church that I believe will fit what you're looking for. Because I'm not offended by that. That's why God gives us all kinds of different churches for all kinds of different flavors, so that we can understand and apply the Word of God in a way that speaks to us. Does that make sense? So, and all of a sudden, and also, listen, it's not all rosy either, right? Man is just prickly. And sometimes they want what they want, and sometimes that causes division, and it causes other denominations to sprout up, sometimes in good soil, sometimes in not so good soil. Right? And so that happens as well. So man's not perfect, but we know the Word is, and we have to go back to the Word of God as a measuring rod. That's why it's important that you know and study the Word of God for yourself so that you can measure it for yourself. Right? There's no reason for an American here in the United States today who has the Word of God at their fingertips that they should be illiterate concerning the Scriptures. Study to show yourselves approved, right? A workman that does not need to be ashamed, but that can rightly divide the word of truth. Don't trust every single thing that comes out of Pastor Jimmy's mouth. Go back and I saw that. Go back and test it. Go back, and I'm not saying challenge me when I get down off the platform, all right? That's not what I'm saying. But go back and listen to the sermon again. Take notes on Sunday mornings. Read back over those notes in your quiet time. Compare what I say to what Scripture says. When you do that, you'll find a plumb line in your life. And don't come tell me I'm wrong 5 or 6 times a week, all right? Do that to him, all right?
So what I would say is, you know what? There's been divisions between people and in the church since the very beginning. Paul and Barnabas split up because of their opinion on somebody. They both thought that they heard the Holy Spirit, and they split up and divided. And you know what? I believe it was God's will that that happened. Because they multiplied their effect, and instead of being two missionaries, they went in two different directions. Sometimes division in the body isn't something because someone isn't hearing the Lord right. Sometimes both people can hear what the Lord has to say, but God has a greater and different plan than what we know. Isn't that true? So, and you know what, denominations, I can imagine that they probably happen the same way. Like maybe they had, you know, people that God wanted to prune the branch off of this denomination, and he wanted to go plant it over here because there's going to be a great tree. Well, guess what? That's okay. And again, I'll go back to this. If you've been burnt by a church or you have bad experience in a church, maybe this is like really new to you. Maybe you're really uncomfortable. I don't know. I really don't know where you're at. But you know what? Let God be God and let the past be the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Put your roots in wherever you go. You know, worship the Lord with all your heart. Be a part of a body of believers that you can make a difference. Right? That you're invested. Don't just come to come. Right? Because God has a plan for your life. And God has called us here, Pastor Jimmy and I, to help you fulfill your purpose in this world. Right? To get through what you need to get through so that you can start giving and you can start growing and that your roots are deep. So division isn't the worst thing in the world. Sometimes division means there has to be pruning, right, and replanting. And we don't always have to agree, but we almost honor God and honor his word.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. All right, last question. And this is a very practical question. The question is, what are the plans for the future plans for New Freedom Church? So good question. I don't know which one of you wrote that question out, but I love that. I love to be a part of something that is not just focusing on the here and now, but focusing in on the future. If you've been a part of New Freedom Church for any period of time, you know that we value our greatest value is loving people. We put it on our mugs, we put it on pins, we put it on t-shirts. I say it all the time. We've got it on banners. Loving people right over there. We love people. And here's how we love people. We minister to focus in on kids, our community. We adopt elementary schools each and every year. We adopted Sally's elementary school this past summer, and we got an opportunity to mentor Nico, a little first grader, and just loved it. And we filled up the teacher's lounge with all kinds of goodies, and you guys wrote notes, and it was awesome. We do free car. How many of you guys ever been a part of car washes here, the free car washes? If you have never done that before, you're going to have to wait till next summer because we just did our last one last weekend. But they're incredible. They're so much fun. We do all kinds of different outreaches to focus in on our community. We love people. Everything that we do revolves around loving people. Our vision right over here, we focus in on our community. We make disciples because we love people, and we want to help them figure out what it is that God's called them to do and disciple them to do it, all right? We love to teach people about prayers. I'm going to talk to you about that just in a minute. Worship, evangelism, church planting, loving people, this is what drives New Freedom Church. And so we begin to think a couple of years ago about what hinders us from reaching our community. And one practical thing that hinders us, I believe, is where we're located, right? Where we're located. How many of you guys ever been to a church in an industrial park before? Raise your hand. Well, but prior to New Freedom.
Oh, we got one.
We got one? Yeah. One person out of the whole congregation, right? And so I remember in 6 years, there's one person that I asked them, hey, how did you hear about New Freedom Church? Oh, I was just passing by and saw it. My jaw went bump. You know who that was? It was Marty.
Right in the back there.
Marty's the one that said that.
Just driving by.
Just driving by. And I said, you are the first person in 6 years I've ever heard say that statement. And
yeah, hey, God put this church just for Marty. That's why God put it in the industrial park. Hey, it's just for Marty, right?
That's
there.
Okay, too. Yeah. Marty works on the corner right there where all the trailers are sold. For if you need a trailer, mm-hmm. go see Marty.
That's right.
All right? There's a little plug back there for you, brother. But so our church is buried in the industrial park, all right? And now we have no problem getting visitors. We have no problems with people coming in. When I first came to New Freedom Church 6 years ago, the church was really small, struggling, and the church is healthy now. It's doing really well. Got kids all over the place. If you started coming to New Freedom Church in the last 2 months, would you raise your hand? Let me see. There. When this summer we have seen five new families come to New Freedom Church. Five. That is awesome. Five new families that either have not been going to church for a long time and just felt like they need to reconnect again, or moved into the area, or have came in and came to Christ. And so we're seeing, especially in the summer months, growth, which I've not seen at this rate in 6 years. And so the future of New Freedom Church is extremely bright. Our staff meetings are full of stories of what God has been doing in the lives of the people at New Freedom Church. And here is something that we are beginning to do in the month of September. And if you'll put that slide up, we are going to start a vision expansion campaign. And what this means is we have a realtor that goes to our church. Her name is Kate. She had to go to an open house, so she left. But she is sending me property as we speak to look at. And we want to build. We want to build a new church. And so we've been looking for several months for buildings that we could just go in and renovate, but so far we have come up with nothing. There's another church in the area, in the community, that is looking for a building, that is struggling, and so we thought, you know what, let's just dream together about what that looks like and what we'd want in a church. And we come up with this. It boils down to this statement. We want to build a church that is custom built for our community. Not for New Freedom Church, not for all of our religious activities, but we want a church that is built and custom made for our community. What does that mean? That means we want to build something that we can say to the Howard board, if you need a place to do your meetings, to have Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, to have community, whatever it is, our church is open for you, free of charge, 100% come and be a part of it. Because a church should not be basically empty Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I believe if we're going to build a building, it should be open and the community should be able to take advantage of it. Right? Because we love people. And so this is what we're going to do. Right now, I am starting a prayer team. And Chris, would you stand up? Chris is going to be leading this campaign. And I have asked him to go around and talk to you individually if you want to be a part of this prayer team. And we're going to be praying specifically for this effort. because as you can see, our sanctuary is full, and this is summer in Northeast Wisconsin. So latter September into the 1st of October, our church is going to swell to the walls are going to bow. And so we need to create more space. And so the way we're going to do that is we're going to first set the foundation in prayer. And I've asked Chris. Chris has been coming faithfully every Monday by himself at New Freedom, and he has been praying over this effort and over you guys as a church as well. And so I've asked him to create a team to pray specifically for this effort. And if you want to partner with him in prayer, see Chris. All right, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. He will give you some information. Yes? Monday nights at 6. All right, right here at New Freedom Church. And if If you want to talk to him afterwards, he'll give you his cell, and you guys can connect and be a part of that, all right? And so what we've also done is we've talked to Church Extension Plan, which that is the organization that we have our mortgage through, and we're going through the approval process right now as we speak. And so we're dreaming together about what a building would look like and where we would place this building in Howard or Suamico area. And if you know of somebody, hey, listen, God is creative about the way he provides for these things. We are going to start a vision expansion campaign, and we're going to give you a card, and I'm going to answer questions for you, not today, but we're going to get into it. Our board is walking lockstep in this. We are so excited about it. We had a three-hour board meeting this past Monday. I pray to God we never have a three-hour board meeting again. But this past week we did, and it was awesome. And a lot of it was dreaming about the future. Dreaming about what God's going to do through your life, through my life, through this church's existence. I heard somebody say this one time, if your church ceased to exist, would the community mourn over its loss? That question haunts me. And that's what drives us forward, to love people. And so we want to love people in all kinds of different ways. And we do that through car washes. We do that through the adoption agency. We do that through Milwaukee and City on a Hill. We do that at Christmas time. We do that we're going to have a movie night next month. And we're going to partner with Meadowbrook Elementary School. I talked to their principal last week. And so we did that the first time last year and had about 100 people show up. This year, we're working in lockstep with the schools, and they're sending out emails as we speak to all the other, not just Meadowbrook School, but to all the other schools in Howard. So can you imagine the crowd we're going to have at Meadowbrook? And the admission to get in is a ream of paper, erasers, pencils, tissue paper, rulers, all of those different things. Bring something, big or small, it doesn't matter. And then we're going to donate all of that to Meadowbrook Elementary School. This is how we love people. And we need a bigger place to love people in. We have not just a heart for here, but we want to plant churches. We want other people to experience the culture of New Freedom Church. And our values as well. So we want to help plant churches. We've helped plant two already, working on a third as we speak with a young man and his wife in Milwaukee. So I'm excited about the future of New Freedom Church. Are you guys excited about the future of what God's going to do here at Amen. New Freedom Church? Amen. Amen. And we want you to be a part of that. Amen. So can we do this? Let's all stand up this morning. And just a sign, how many of you guys enjoyed that, by the way? It's different. We don't normally, answer questions and stuff like that. But we thought this was an awesome opportunity to make sure every question was answered that was written in. So, but here's what we're going to do. If you would you take the hand next to you and just reach across the aisles and do that if you need to? If you don't know that person, don't even look at them. Just offer your hand. Don't even look at them. Okay? Don't even look at them. Eyes on me, all right? But here's what we're going to do. We just, in the leadership of our church, and the board, all of us sense this massive urgency to reach the lost. It drives us at this church. If we have the same people that come every single Sunday, we are not doing our jobs. That doesn't mean I'm not preaching right. It means that we're not sharing the love of God the way we should be. Compelling, drawing, inviting people to come. And so we're going to pray over the future of our church and over what God is about to lead us into. All right? Are you ready to do that this morning? I am so excited about what God's about to do. So let's pray. Father, we join hands this morning all across this building in solidarity, saying that we are one and that we are walking forward as one, as a church, forward into what you have called us to do. Lord, the blessing of your hand is evident in our preschool, in our elementary classes, in our youth group, in our nursery, in our sanctuary, in our outreaches. Your hand is evident in our baptistries, the altars. You are winning people. And you are giving us favor into the schools, into our community. And God, we need a place to house the hurting. We need a place of refuge for this community. And Lord, we ask that at the ground level, as preparation is being made, that you would just begin to open doors that cannot be shut. You would open land that was previously not open. That you would substantially give us blessing as we move forward as a church, unanimously, as one, lockstep with one another. God, we pray, bring in the hurting, bring in the disenfranchised, bring in the lost, bring in the hopeless. And Father, you are doing it. And we want to be a good steward of the people that you are bringing to New Freedom Church. And we ask, Father, that you would provide the finances, that you would provide the prayer warriors, that you would provide the land. Father, you healed people not as a means to just say, wow, you're awesome. You did that as a vehicle to point them to the Father. And so, Lord, use our efforts. Use a mere building as a vehicle, not to sing the praises of Pastor Jimmy or the board or any leader at this church. May we decrease.
Hallelujah.
In order that you increase in this community. May you be lifted up so that all men may be drawn unto you. And so, Lord, let the efforts that we are about to embark in draw all men unto you. Lord, may it shake the dust off of our faith as we ask you to give. Not to give out of our means, but to give out of what you have told us to give.
Hallelujah.
And so, Father, we thank you for blessing. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in the very near future at New Freedom Church. God, prepare us spiritually. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our finances, prepare our time to do what you have called us to do, and that is to love our community, to love people. So, Father, we take this step together and we trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give God some glory this morning. Amen. So excited. So be praying concerning that. If you want to be a part of this ministry, this prayer ministry, talk to Chris in the bright green shirt right there and get connected with him so that we can start this ground level by praying. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're new here today, please go in the back and see our guest services. We want to get we want to get something for in your hands, and we've got a couple back there that'll get it to you. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. Start on the 20th. The prayer night is going to start on the 20th. All right, at 6 a.m. right here. 6 p.m. Sorry, I won't be there. 6 p.m. All right. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.